Hello and welcome to our program. We will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse number 13. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Well, the Lord's coming. I think he's coming again very soon. All the signs are there, but here's the question. When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there?
When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master, from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over, and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh the sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So first of all, he says in verse 1, I write unto you. He said in verse 2, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, Paul was constantly saying to these people at Thessalonica the things that they already knew. They were well taught. And he said that Jesus was coming as a thief in the night. Now, when we talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ, sometimes I think we get the different verses mixed up. There's a rapture, what we call the rapture of the Christian taken out of this world, and the return of Christ when he comes to the world. Now, it says here he's coming as a thief in the night. Another verse says, when he comes, every eye shall see him. The difference is, when he comes for his own, when he comes in the rapture for the Christians in this world, he comes as a thief in the night. 7 years later, after the tribulation period and after the judgment seat of Christ, where we as Christians will be judged for how we lived our Christian lives here on earth, after that, then he comes and every eye shall see him. And we need to rightly divide the word of God. Now, when it comes to the rapture here, he says, when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So he says here in verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, we need to understand that God is completely in charge of what is going on today. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 2 says that he, that is God, changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, he setteth up kings, he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God is in charge of the times and of the seasons. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, the disciples at that time were not to understand exactly what God was doing. That sounds interesting, and it is interesting. We have a complete series on the book of Acts. You need to look at that if you want to get more information on this. But it says here in verse number 6 of Acts chapter 1, when they, that is the disciples, therefore were come together, they asked of him, that is Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time again restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So in Daniel 2 and 2, it says that God is in charge of the times and the seasons. However, 2,000 years ago, when this was written here in Acts chapter 1, the Lord said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. But that's not the case now. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1, it says, we are to understand. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Of the times and the seasons, he said, I write unto you. Now notice the difference between you and them. It says here in verse number 1, I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now when a thief comes, first of all, he's unwanted. Nobody wants a thief to come. And second of all, he's unexpected. Now, we're living in an age when if you ask the average person on the street, do you want Jesus to come back today? No, I don't want Jesus to come back today. Well, we say, that's terrible. Okay, if we could get some kind of a pill and put it in the coffee cup of a Christian today and say, now, you want Jesus to come back today? I would think about 10% or maybe 5% would really say, yes, even so, come quickly, the Lord Jesus. The average person who calls himself a Christian these days doesn't want Jesus to come back today. Now, there's something wrong and there's something sick about that picture. First of all, what might be wrong is the person's not saved at all if he doesn't want to see the Lord. And if he doesn't want to see the Lord and he is saved, he is spiritually sick. Not only does a thief come when he's not wanted, he's come when he's unwanted, and he comes when he's unexpected. Do you really expect Jesus to come back today before noon? Do you expect him to come back tomorrow before noon? Do you really expect him to be here soon? No, not really. Well, there you go. It comes as a thief in the night when he's unwanted by the majority, unsaved or saved alike, so-called, and the unexpected. Now, he said in verse number 3, for when they, now he says to these Christians at Thessalonica, who were sincere Christians for the most part, he said, when they, those who are not part of that group, shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Verse 4, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So verse 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. He said, now put on the breastplate of faith. Faith, that's what we believe. What we believe, that's what that word means. What our doctrine, what we really believe the Bible says. Your faith, how about that? Put that on. That should be right out front, like a breastplate. And love, and for a helmet, the hope or the expectation of salvation. Says in verse number 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, I believe that's speaking about the tribulation period. We're not appointed under wrath. We're going to be raptured out of this world. That's the context of this portion of Scripture. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, we've said many times before, when the Bible's talking about salvation, it's not always talking about going to heaven. It's talking about being saved in physical situations, such as the tribulation period. And so again, in verse 9, we read, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, to comfort someone is to be easing the feelings concerning a difficult situation. Easing the feelings, you know, we're a three-part being, we're body, soul, and spirit. The soul part of man is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Has to do with our feelings, and a lot of things come along, disappointments in life. And so he says, well, you need to comfort yourselves together in these difficult situations. A difficult situation is something there where we need discernment to deal with the difficult situations. And so he says, get together, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. To edify is to build up, to help, to instruct so as to improve. It's been translated build 24 times, and it's talking about building spiritually. And so he says, comfort yourselves together. The Bible says, for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And now in verse number 12 on down through to verse number 22, we see the responsibilities of Christians concerning God-given leadership, the responsibility of Christians concerning other Christians, and just some general personal responsibilities in this age of apostasy that we're living in. Paul concludes this letter with his prayer and his request for the people. We'll look at it in our next program. Be sure and tune in.
Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on, until someday the last step. step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home until someday.